I'm Kevin.
And I'm Stephanie.
And during our marriage, we have dealt with an electrocution, a brain tumor, brain surgery.
Then doctors telling us that children were not in our future, followed by miscarriage, and then Kevin's cancer diagnosis.
However, today, we live a life completely healed and restored with three healthy children who doctors said were not possible. And we're here to tell stories that inspire, give hope, and brighten your day. Welcome to
Tell Us a Good Story.
This episode is being presented to you by Storyside Church, where your story matters. At Storyside Church, they believe God always writes a good story.
You can join them for church online each Sunday morning on their Facebook page or watch their entire library of prior services on their YouTube channel, Storyside Church.
All right, Steph. Episode 180.
Aw, and he's so nervous.
Our next guest like this. Folks, we have a very, very special guest. My dad, Mr. Ron Mason.
Ron Mason's in the house.
It's good to be here.
So, were you nervous on the way here, Dad?
I'm nervous now.
I've never seen you like this, Dad.
I'm never nervous. I mean,
Dad, you have spoken hundreds of times, literally.
In front of thousands of people.
How many weddings have you done? Over 100, probably, right?
I'd say about 200 weddings.
Okay. And you're more nervous to do this than any of those ceremonies, yeah. Is what you're saying.
I guess I am.
I love it. So, were you surprised we asked you to be on Tell Us a Good Story?
Yeah, but it took 180 episodes to do it.
Better late than never, though.
I guess so.
As you've been listening, have you been surprised by anything? Has anything surprised you?
Yes, I think the biggest thing is how open you and Stephanie are, because that wasn't your natures.
No.
You two are very private.
Yes, we are.
And with this, you have to be open and honest, and you talk to some people that are some pretty intimidating people.
Like who?
Like the guy that you had on that is the martial arts guy.
Oh, yes, Victor Marks?
Yes. Victor Marks. Excellent. I loved it. But just to sit down and to talk to these people was amazing. So
one thing that surprised me, I think this is hilarious stuff. You had sent me a text, and it may have been about the book. And you had said via text to me, where did this personality come from, Kevin? I didn't know you were funny.
In high school, I thought you were kind of a dry sense of humor. You know, you would laugh when you were around friends and things like that, but yeah. I didn't actually know that you were funny. And Sherry, my wife, she said, you know what? He takes more after you than I thought he did. And I thought, that poor child.
Which is funny because there have been people, Dad, people, family members or people who know both of us, family right. friends, I guess, a handful have said, Kevin, you sound like your dad. And I haven't really seen it. But looking back in hindsight, I can see times where it's like, okay, if there's anything that I've gotten from you, it probably is the personality. Because everything else, we're pretty much opposite, right? So you're brown hair, I'm blonde hair. You've got brown eyes, I have blue eyes. You're left-handed, I'm right-handed. You golf and bat right-handed, I golf and bat left-handed. You have a deep voice, I do not, right?
So I think your voice is deeper than what you think it is.
Yeah, maybe. It just took a long time to get there. Yeah.
Oh, it took a long time to get there.
I feel like you guys have one thing in common.
What's that?
You both think you're funny and you're not. You guys laugh at yourselves all the time, and I'm just looking at you both.
We are funny.
I think so.
I mean, funny. Our jokes, yes, it might be dad jokes, but they're funny dad jokes.
I need to have Sherry come down here, and she would agree with me that you guys think you're more funny than you are.
You're just a tough crowd, is what I think.
They are. You are a tough crowd.
I'm just honest. I know funny.
If we were making a lot of money doing this, you would think we were funny.
I would be in the audience going, boring. Oh.
So, Dad, last weekend, you and Sherry spent time with our kids. And it was very funny because when they got in the car with us to go home, immediately the girls are like, Dad, Papaw sounded just like you. And I'm like, no. And like, no. He sounded just like you. And they were really excited to tell me. And so I'm like, okay, give me an example. And so they said they were shopping in Bath & Body Works, mm-hmm. right? And you had taken Tate out and maybe went to another store or walked him around or whatever. And Emmy said she came out after they're done shopping and said, Papaw, did you get anything? And you're like, yeah, I got a headache. And you're like, this kid does not stop talking.
He doesn't stop. He's all energy. And I thought, he is his father's son, because you are all energy. Jumping and running and carrying on. But he's such a lovable child.
He is. He is. So when they said that, I'm like, okay, that is something I would probably say. But we are opposite in a lot of different areas. Here's what's funny stuff. Dad loved to play practical jokes on all of us kids, right? And so one of the jokes that he pulled was, he would point out like the most ridiculous looking person and be like, hate to inform you, son, but that's actually your real
dad. That's your dad.
because dad and I don't look anything alike. Well, so we...
not only did you not like it, but your mother didn't like it either. That is really your father. I'm sorry, but out of the goodness of my heart, I've decided to raise you kids. But I'm really not your dad.
So there was a guy who lived down the street, and dad and I would go out on the front porch, and I'm going to change his name. We'll say it was Billy. So Billy was, at this age, probably 30, and he was a goofy-looking guy, and he still lived with his parents.
You see why I thought he was Kevin's father?
I'm understanding this.
You understanding this now?
Like, where's the lie here, right? So we would see Billy riding on his bike, and of course, dad would, you know, wave to him and stuff, and then under his breath, he'd be like, son, I hate to tell you, but that's actually your real father. And I would go to mom, and I'm like, Mom, is Billy my real dad?
He was always busting me out. There should be some things between father and son. You don't have to run to mommy.
And mom would be like, who told you that? And I'm like, dad told me that. Dad told me that Billy's my real dad. And he said that you and Billy had a thing in high school. Is that right? And mom would be like, Ron Mason, stop telling your kids that you're not their real father, okay? Can you please stop doing that?
I used to do that to Julie also. There was a guy I lived in town that was just a little bit different. And I would say, Julie, Mr. Smith over there, he's your real father. And Julie would bust out crying and sobbing.
No!
Oh, my gosh. It was like I said, Julie, I hate you, and I never want to see you again. Just started crying, but you.
Okay, so you did that on my older sister.
Yes.
And from that experience, you're like, hey, let's do it again on our son.
It worked good on her, so I thought, like, let's do it with Kevin.
This could have some long-term damage on our kids, but, man, it's really funny.
Back right? then, you could get away with funny stuff like that.
It's good, actually. That is good. Okay, do you have any stories of Kevin that I'm not made aware of yet?
As a kid?
Yeah.
I've probably got several, but I don't know what he's told you and what he hasn't.
Tell me a good one then.
Okay, the Soul Seekers had started singing. That's a family gospel group for those who don't know about it, but it's my three sisters and myself and a brother-in-law, and we would always practice at Lois and Bob's house in Baltimore.
And that's your sister?
And that's my sister. Lois is my sister. Kevin was only about 3 years old, and they had a cat. And we didn't know Kevin was allergic to cats then. I kind of know why he is now. Because Pharaoh, she would come down and strut around.
That's the cat?
The cat, Pharaoh, would strut around, and she would stick her tail straight up in the air. Well, Kevin was kind of curious about the backside of her tail. And Kevin's sitting there, and I'm thinking, no, he's not going to do this. No, he's not. But sure enough, the cat walked past Kevin with her tail up, which would expose her bottom side. And Kevin thought it was a doorbell. And Kevin takes his finger and goes, and sticks it right in that cat's doorbell. And the cat goes, and jumps straight up in the air. And Kevin starts crying. Of course, everybody starts laughing and busting out, because we all saw Kevin take his finger and stick it in the doorbell of the cat's hiney.
Oh, gosh,
and that cat jumped straight up in the air. But right after that, Kevin started being allergic to cats. And I think that was God's way of protecting cats in the neighborhood.
They don't have to fear Kevin
All the cats
anymore.
In your neighborhood here are safe. Yes. You don't have to worry about Kevin going ding-dong. So that's one of the stories.
Oh, poor Pharaoh.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Kevin
honestly.
Cried. He was so embarrassed.
But I'm shocked, Dad.
Oh, my gosh.
How many people were there? How many adults were there?
About eight. This.
And not one of them stopped me
well,
from doing that. Not one. You're just like, hey, really? Guys, let's watch this stupid actually, kid here.
Watch you. Watch you.
Watch Billy's kid. This is Billy's kid. Watch Billy, him.
Watch Billy's son here. He's going to do it. Yes, by the way. He's
hey, and hide the dog, by
hide
the way.
Hide the dog. Oh, you cried. And your Aunt Lois, she's what, 82?
I don't know, probably.
She's 82. We had practice, because we still sang, and we had practice last, I think, Saturday, and Lois brought up that story.
No.
She goes, do you remember, when? Because I was talking about you and being on the podcast.
Okay.
She goes, do you remember when Kevin stuck his finger in Pharaoh's hiney? Now, you made an impression on an 82-year-old wow. woman that she still remembers that.
Wow. All right, Steph, I'm going to test you again here. What is your favorite book of all time?
Obviously, it's the Bible, Kevin.
Yes.
Nailed it.
Very good. This time you didn't say the book we wrote called You Met Her Where.
But it's still a really good book.
That is true.
And it would make a great gift for friends or relatives on their birthday or for Christmas.
Friends, you can order your copy of our book titled You Met Her Where at kevinandsteph.com. And we will make sure to personally sign a copy for you or whoever you want.
And as always, thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
Well, that reminds me of another story, Dad. So for those listening, if you couldn't tell, I was, what I would say, spanked as a child. Okay? It's so...
not as much as your mom thought.
Not as much, right? But there's a funny story because there was one day where apparently I was just giving mom a lot of trouble. And you were the disciplinarian, right? You were the ones who took
yes.
care of all that. And mom would be like, wait till your dad gets home. You're going to be in trouble.
Do mothers right? still do that?
I don't.
Because back then, you know, the mother would always do this. And I don't know why. Kids would do something wrong. And they said, wait until your father gets home. So here the kids are all afraid. They don't want dad to come home. And I've been working all day. I can't wait to see my wife and my kids. I walk in the door and I say, daddy's home with the kids. And take off running and hide and scream. I'm thinking, what is up with this? Well, Kevin's mother goes, you need to do something with your son. It's Billy's son. It's, talk to Billy. It's not.
I'm just taking
I'm
care
just
of him here.
Filling in. And what had happened is your sister,
okay.
Julie, she was aggravating you that day, and you'd probably had as much as you could take,
okay.
and you hauled off, and you'd started defending yourself,
okay.
and it wasn't the right thing to do, because most generally the parent sees the reaction,
yeah,
instead of the original act. So I come in the house and she goes, you need to spank him and spank him good because he's been picking on Julie all day and they've been fighting and arguing and I've told him to straighten up and he hasn't done it. And I thought, oh, wonderful. So I take you in your bedroom.
Right.
And I said, Kevin, I don't want to spank you. I don't want to do this, but if I don't, then I'm going to be in a fight all night in an argument. And
so I've got
you know,
to do it.
So I got to do this. So I said, Kevin, I'm not mad at you, but here is what I'm going to do. We shut his bedroom door, and I said, Kevin, I'm going to smack my hands real loud. I'm going to smack my hands, and I want you to scream bloody murder like you are really being hit. So I said, do you know what you're going to do? And he goes, yeah. He shakes his head. Yeah, Dad, I know. Okay, get ready. Here we go. Kevin, I told you not to pick on your sister. You, for the 10th time, son, this is it. You're going to get out. Kevin, out. And Kevin's going, oh, no, Dad, no. And after about five or six smacks of my hand, he looked at me and I said, now rub your eyes real good. Rub your eyes. Get them nice and red so it looks like you've been crying. Get it. So, and then I grabbed him by the shoulder. I opened the door and took him out. Now tell your mom that you're sorry. Apologize to your sister. I'll take you back in. I'll do it again. I don't care if you are Billy's son. I will spank you. So I did that, and his mom then looks at me and goes, why were you so hard on him? You got to be kidding me. The only thing that hurts is my hands.
So she got upset with you for going too hard on me.
Yes. Yes. I am so surprised that you have never told her that story.
I was just going to ask, does she know this?
I don't know.
She's going to know now.
Probably will now.
She's going to know it now.
So another story that comes to my mind.
I don't know what exactly lesson I taught you other than I didn't want to spank you, but...
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
But thank you.
You know what, though, you guys? The kids are going to listen to this podcast, and if Kevin has the discipline... Now, Daddy, can we do what Papaw does to you? Okay. Like, they're going to have this whole, like, scheme devised.
Amy, Ellen Tate, I give you permission to use this against your father. Go ahead.
So, can you tell Steph the story of we were taking a family vacation to Virginia, Dad. And I think we're visiting my aunt and uncle.
Yeah,
right?
In Stanton, Virginia.
Yeah. Right? So, we're going for there for a week. And that was a long drive from where we're at in, you know, central Ohio. That was probably, what, 8-9 hour drive?
Eight or nine hours.
So I remember, Steph, we get to West Virginia. There's a roadside rest there. And it's one of those, you know, it's out in the middle of nowhere in West Virginia. And I'm probably 6 years old, I would say, at the time. And my mom takes my two sisters. They go to the bathroom on the girl's side. Dad takes me into the men's restroom. And it's not a huge restroom, but there's multiple stalls and stuff. And so we go into the handicap restroom because it's the larger,
right, it's largest.
The larger stall. And I remember I went to the bathroom and then Dad would go and, you know, I would just be standing there. And so Dad goes, but of course, being in a public restroom, it's typically disgusting, right? Those bathrooms.
Bathrooms back then were not that good. And one of the last things you wanted to do is stop on the trip and take your kids into a public bathroom.
But
and,
yeah, that, I mean, that's part of every road trip, though. So yeah. You have to do it. Can you tell Steph what happened? You didn't want to touch the handle of the toilet.
It was so disgusting. I didn't want to touch it. Mm-hmm. So Kevin goes in. He uses the bathroom. I said, just leave it alone. I'll flush it. And he went out and he stood outside. Well, there was another guy that was in the stall beside of us. And he must have been sitting down, because you could see his pants on the floor.
On his ankles.
Down on his ankles. So I go to the bathroom, and it was so disgusting. I didn't want to touch it.
Uh-huh.
I didn't want to touch it. So here you have the pipes coming out of the wall, then you got the handle that flushes, and then you got the seats. And I thought, okay, I'm just going to touch it with my foot and flush the toilet. You probably have done this before.
Totally have done
okay,
that.
Okay, well, I'm really good at this, because when I push the handle down with my foot.
Push.
It came out of the wall. And a 3-inch or more circle of water started shooting out of the wall. The floor is getting flooded. It's raising up. The guy beside of me, you can see him, his pants underneath. His pants are soaked. I mean, his pants are soaked. He pulls up his wet drawers, runs out of the bathroom, trying to pull his drawers up at the same time. I am trying to unlock the door to get out. And, of course, I'm soaking wet because it's shooting out. And, of course, Kevin just looks and goes, what did you do, Dad? So, Kevin, just get out. Go out. Just go. Get out of the bathroom. And then when we went out, there was one of the guards or one of the men that worked there. And I said, I think the bathroom needs attention. You need to go and check the bathroom out. Kevin, get in the car. Let's go.
If you like what you hear, please tell someone about us. As soon as this episode is over, go tell your spouse, your closest friend, a parent, a coworker, or share one of our posts on social media.
However, if you don't like what you're hearing, please do not.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anyone.
Don't tell anybody.
Just disregard this message.
Don't worry
about
it.
Forget about us.
Yep.
Go on with your merry day.
And to get more information about us or our entire catalog of episodes, be sure to check us out at kevinandsteph.com. Thank you for listening to Tell Us a Good Story.
One story we have not shared in 3.5 years of doing this is how I met Steph. I am forever indebted to you and grateful to you.
And please remember that.
Because you're the one who actually introduced me to Steph. So can you both share the story of how you met?
As both of you know, I love Key West, and I had just gone to Key West, and I don't know what day it was on, but you
had... It was the 4th of July weekend.
You were playing...
In a softball tournament.
And I came to watch you play the softball game. And afterwards, I was riding home with, let's just say, a friend, okay? And when we went past, you were working at Hooters at that time. And I don't even know if I'd ever been in a Hooters before. But we saw the sign that said Key Lime Pie. Well, loving Key West, we thought, yes, let's go in and get some pie. So we went in and we sat down, and this beautiful young blonde came and waited on us. And I thought, oh my gosh, she'd be perfect for Kevin. Actually, she's probably too good for him. But I didn't say this stuff out loud, though. Okay?
That's what you're thinking?
Yeah.
You still think that.
And I saw her, and she was our waitress. And I said, excuse me, I don't mean to be rude or anything, but do you have a boyfriend? And she looked at me. It's kind of weird. And she just kind of looked at me. I said, no, I've got a son that would be perfect for you. And you could tell by her face, oh, yeah, okay, now somebody's going to
like, I've heard that before, yeah.
And she goes, I think you said, does he look anything like you? Or you said, is he as incredibly handsome?
Something along those lines.
It had to be.
Yes.
Had to be that.
And I remember looking at you and say, oh, no, he's not even close. But he's a good-looking kid, okay? Just give him a chance, okay?
He's not my son, but...
Yeah, he's really Billy Bikes' son and looks nothing just, like me, but...
Just his guardian.
We've tried to, you know, really work on him. And could I bring him in to meet you? You think you went back and talked to your sister or something.
Do you remember said stuff?
I remember you and your friend came, and I just had a lot of fun with you both. Like,
yeah,
you had
we were
great,
having a good time.
We were just joking back and forth, and you guys were getting ready to leave, and you're like, do you have a boyfriend? And I was like, no. And you're like, my son would be perfect for you. And your friend was like, oh, he's so cute. He would be great for you.
Now, is it true you had just broken up with somebody like the week before?
We had been broken up
for 48 hours.
No, for a little while.
Okay.
Just for a little while, though. And I was not looking forward to getting into a relationship or anything. And he's like, you know, when do you work or when's the next time you work? And I'm like, well, I pretty much work every weekend. And you're like, I'm going to bring him by. And I'm like, okay. Like, didn't believe you at all. Like, okay, you know, whatever. And your friend kept saying his son would be perfect for you.
Well, I wasn't a pastor this time, so I'm free to go into Hooters.
There you go. There you go.
No longer a man of the cloth.
I'm no longer a man of the cloth. But.
So you got in the car, and I think you immediately called me. Because I was actually in between games in that tournament. We're waiting to play. You called me. You're like, Kevin, you are not going to believe who I just met. I'm like, Archie Griffin. Right? Like, I don't know. And you're like, I just met the perfect girl for you. And I'm like, I bet you didn't. And you're like, no, I'm serious. I met the perfect girl for you. I'm like, okay, where did you meet her? And you're like, Hooters. And I'm like, you met her where? And you're like, Kevin, we just went to Hooters. And I remember saying, why are you going to Hooters?
I wanted key lime pie.
And yes, if I didn't know you, I would be like, okay, you're making that up. That part up.
Right.
You just went to Hooters for the key lime pie. Sure you did. But you were adamant. Kevin, you have to meet this girl.
We went there because God wanted us to go there.
You were adamant. And so at that time, I was studying for the CPA exam. And any free time I had, I was studying for the exam. And so you're like, next time she works is Friday night. I'm like, Dad, Friday night I will be studying for the exam.
No, you're not.
You're like, you're going to take...
You're going to Hooters with me. You're going to meet this girl.
And I was adamant. I'm like, Dad, no. I'm serious. You're like, I am too, Kevin. Take a study break. Dinner's on me.
I've already given her 50 to meet you. I'm not wasting my money.
So you would not take no. You were very adamant. And you told me, listen, I'm picking you up at 7. You're going to take a study break. You have to meet this girl. So I'm like, okay, whatever. Thinking, I'm going to get a free meal. I'm going to get to spend time with Dad. And I'm just going to have this awkward moment of meeting this random waitress. So that Friday night, I take a study break. You pick me up at 7. I remember on the way there, we get to the exit ramp. And I say, Dad, turn around. And you're like, why? And I'm like, this is really weird. You're like, what's weird about it? I'm like, first off, I don't want my first time ever going to Hooters to be with my dad. That is really weird. And you're like, that's fine, son. You can just sit in the car. I'm going in. I'm going to say hello to Stephanie.
You wouldn't get out.
I wouldn't get out.
So, okay, I'm going in and get some wings and say hi to this beautiful young girl that you are missing out on.
So I literally sat in the car, and you got to the door, and I realized, okay, I didn't drive. You drove. It is July. It's going to be getting hot in this car, and I didn't have an iPhone at that time. It hadn't been invented. So I'm like, okay, let's just get this awkward moment out of the way. I'll meet this random waitress, and then I'll talk the rest of the night to Dad. So we go in, and I think you asked, is Stephanie there?
Yeah, I said, is Stephanie working tonight? And they go, yes, she is. Go, okay. And
it's like, this is a high-class place. Yeah. Tell them, give us the best table in the house.
No, I remember you guys, we were slammed that Friday night. We were so slammed. And you had walked in, you're like, hey. And immediately I thought, oh my gosh, he's here. He's here. And you're like, do you have a table? And I'm like, I almost said, no, I'm completely full. And as I said that, I looked to my left and there was one empty table in the entire restaurant.
It's a God thing.
And it was my table. And I'm like, actually, it's right there. So you went, but I hadn't seen Kevin at that point. So you went to your table and I immediately grabbed my sister's arm and I pulled her in the restroom. I'm like, oh my gosh, he's here, he's here. And I don't know why I was nervous because at that point, like, I'd always been meeting, you know, different people or whatever, like, oh, you should meet this guy, whatever. But this time I was nervous and I'm like, I'm covered in wing grease. I'm like, this is not the best look. You know, I'm going to be meeting this guy. So I think I sent Katie out first.
Is your sister.
To come and like greet you guys, get your guys' drinks or whatever. And she kind of like scoped you guys out to make sure you guys weren't like weird or crazy or anything stalkerish. So she came back and told me it was good to go. And then I came out and greeted you guys.
See, and I don't remember anything after that because I think you made me leave the table or something.
We were eating and it came to a point where I'm like, okay, I'd actually like to talk to Steph alone without my wingman here, Dad.
And when we say wingman, we really mean wingman.
Yeah, literally. So I remember I asked you, Dad, can you like get lost for a minute? And so you went to the bathroom, you came out, and I think you saw Steph and I talking, and then you cozy up to the bar and just started talking to some homeless-looking guy there at the bar.
Wow. That was Mindy's father. She doesn't know it yet.
You look familiar.
Don't I know you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember you.
Here's a picture of your kid.
Yeah. She's cute.
So then Steph and I were able to talk. And how did I ask for your number? Do you remember?
Oh, my gosh. Of course I remember. You were just like, so.
Was he sweating?
He was so cute. He had his hat on backwards. I still remember he had like a white t-shirt on. And then he has a cute red hat on backwards, which I was a sucker for athletes. And he, you know, was jacked with muscles, hat on backwards, super cute. And he's like, Soa, you going to give me your number? And I was like, do you want my number? And he's like, yeah, I do. And I'm like, okay. And that's all it was.
You wrote it down on the receipt. And it was the real number.
It was the real number.
You didn't make up some random number, which was nice. Yes.
It wasn't corporate headquarters.
Yes, it wasn't the restaurant's number or anything.
No.
So that was nice. Mm-hmm. So, yes, completely indebted to you, Dad, that you actually introduced me to my wife. Amazing.
Yeah, I told you. And I'm just thankful that she didn't chicken out.
Well, he almost lost me on the first date, but we rang it up.
Yeah, we'll save that one for another episode. Well, Dad, thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure.
I'm shocked again that you were nervous to do this, that you cared enough. It meant so much to you.
It does.
So thank you for doing this.
Well, we're so proud of you and Steph, and we know that there's a lot of people out there that are being encouraged. So
I'm thrilled we could document some of these stories, and thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
Love you, Pops.
Love you, too.
I love you, too.
Do you?
Well, sometimes. No, I always do.
I'll take whatever I get.
Friends, thank you for listening to this episode of Tell Us a Good Story.
For additional content and longer episodes, you can go to our website at kevinandsteph.com or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
And don't forget, you can catch us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on the AM/FM 24/7 network. Thank you for listening to
Tell Us a Good Story.